Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Solvable Mysteries podcast. My name is Juras, and as every week, I'm joined by my co-host, Galina Hajkov, who's joining me all the way from California, as per regular. And man, are you excited about this week's case? We have a case that we're actually returning to. Again, it's back-to-back returns on the Solvable Mysteries podcast, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like an opportunity, I guess, given that we've covered so much new material lately, including our double up shows. It's probably a good opportunity to take a look at something, and some of the things that I think that have been the most compelling cases. I'll say just at the top of this case, this one specifically, without stepping in an intro, I will say that like when I was growing up, I used to watch like Mystery on PBS, like with my parents when I was a little kid. That was like the guilty pleasure in the 80s. It was like, it felt so grown up. And then, so this case tonight, I think maybe this is why I wanted to take another look at it, because it reminded me so much of like just almost a classic murder mystery, in almost every sense of the word. So with that, I'll hand it back to you.
Yeah. Actually, we're going to be talking today about Missy Beaver's murder. And for people who have been longtime fans of the show, they will remember that I believe it was episode number 87, I think, of Solvable Mysteries podcast. We literally covered Missy Beaver's last year, I think almost to the T last year. It was this month, around the same time of the week. And it's interesting because we're returning here 1 year later. We are 1 year, let's say, more advanced into this podcasting gig, right? And I want to quickly read the introduction for this case. Once again, people may know about this case, but some of them will definitely not, especially the new subscribers and listeners to our podcast. So really quickly, Missy Beavers is an American woman who was killed in the early morning hours of April 18th, 2016, at a church in Midlothian, southwest of Dallas. Missy was a 45-year-old mother of three daughters, as well as a fitness instructor from Red Oak, Texas. She was married to her husband, Brandon Beavers, for 17 years at the time of her murder. After Missy and Brandon had their first daughter together, Missy decided to stay at home and take care of her kids. As the children got older, she decided to start a career in fitness, and she became a popular fitness instructor working for a fitness company called Camp Gladiator. On the evening of April 17th, 2016, the day before she was murdered, Missy made several Facebook posts about her 5 a.m. fitness class the following morning. This would be her last Facebook post ever made. The Facebook post notified her fitness students that even though it was going to be raining the following morning, Missy will still hold her fitness class in the Creekside Church in Midlothian, Texas. Bizarrely, Missy was not the first person to arrive at the Creekside Church the next morning. At 3:50 a.m. in the morning on April 18th, the church's CCTV surveillance footage captured an unknown individual breaking into the church while dressed head to toe in replica SWAT riot gear. This unknown individual was slowly pacing the empty, dark halls of the church. At one point, the CCTV camera captures a glimpse of a hammer or possibly another melee weapon in their left hand. The individual did not appear to spend any amount of time at a particular door or location of the church and just kept slowly moving around. 30 minutes after this unknown individual broke into the church at 4:20 a.m. in the morning, Missy Beavers arrived at the church herself in order to set up her fitness class that was scheduled for 5 a.m. that morning. As Missy entered the church, she was completely unaware that a person wearing SWAT riot gear was already inside the church, for quite a while actually, and was presumably waiting for her. At 5 a.m., two 911 calls were made after Missy's students found her dead inside of the church. Missy Beavers had died from multiple puncture wounds to her head and her chest. The medical examiner was able to determine that the wounds on Missy's head and chest were consistent with the tool the suspect wearing the SWAT riot gear was carrying around the building. A little bit of digging on the subreddit dedicated to this case led me to a few posts that indicate Missy was actually murdered by gunshot wounds. However, as I understand, this detail has never been verified by law enforcement. Soon after the murder took place, authorities released several minutes of surveillance footage from the church. Now, the video shows a person between 5'2" and 5'7" in height walking with a unique gait, possibly due to a leg injury. It is also unknown if the suspect is a male or a female. After assessing Missy's personal life for potential clues, law enforcement found out that Missy and her husband Brandon were having marital and financial problems at the time of her murder. Also, several reports indicated that Missy was possibly having several affairs outside of her marriage with Brandon. Shortly after the killing, law enforcement as well as the public started suspecting that Missy's husband, Brandon, was somehow involved with her murder. However, when police sat down and talked with Brandon a few days after, he provided a solid alibi. It turns out that Brandon was over 600 miles away on a fishing trip on the very same morning that Missy was killed. Police also told the media that none of Missy's family members, including Brandon, are considered suspects or persons of interest in this case. A chilling detail emerged when surveillance footage from an outdoor equipment store located across the street from the church was recovered. The footage showed that at 2 a.m. on April 18th, the day when Missy was killed, a light-colored 2010 Nissan Altima pulled into the store's parking lot. The driver of the Nissan Altima turned their headlights on and off several times as the vehicle circled the parking lot. At one point, the vehicle parked for a short time under a parking lot light. To this day, the person seen in the church's surveillance video nor the driver of the Nissan Altima have ever been identified, and there have been no arrests made in the murder of Missy Beavers. Several details jump out in this case. For instance, did the intruder enter the church with the intentions of killing Missy, or was this a robbery that went wrong? The intruder was walking around the church at a slow pace and did not appear to have any sense of urgency to steal anything. Based on the physical evidence at the scene, the intruder also tried to pry open a window that they couldn't possibly have fitted through. Afterwards, the intruder entered the church through the back door. The SWAT outfit is cumbersome and heavy, which doesn't seem like optimal burglary gear. Why exactly this outfit was chosen by the intruder is also unknown. On the other hand, if this was a pre-planned murder, then the SWAT outfit would actually make a lot more sense. The SWAT gear would allow the murderer to get close to Missy without making her too suspicious, while the helmet and padding would offer some degree of protection. It's worth mentioning that Missy was taller than her killer and a professional fitness instructor as well, while the murderer doesn't appear to be in fantastic physical shape. Perhaps this explains why the SWAT gear was chosen. Another interesting detail is the 2010 Nissan Altima that had pulled into the parking lot on the opposite side of the road from the church. The car pulled in 2 hours before the intruder entered the church. It's unknown who the driver of the Nissan Altima was, as the car was also never identified. And that's pretty much all I have on this case. The case is still unsolved. We still don't know who murdered Missy Beavers. It's very bizarre because we do have a good portion of CCTV of the person who did it. It's kind of reminiscent of the Delphi murders case. Wouldn't you agree, man?
Yeah, I mean, actually, that's perfect because that is, it's like frustrating in the exact same way that you have video of the actual, I mean, presumably the actual criminal that did it, the murderer. You have actual video of that person, and so far, I mean, we'll talk about this. It doesn't really seem like they know who this person is, and it's a bit amazing. It's kind of fascinating. It's worth mentioning that, you know, the episode we did about a year ago, I mean, it was a really complete encapsulation of the case. I mean, we really covered that thing front to back, and we covered a lot of different aspects of the theories. Today, when we talk about it, you know, when we were talking about what topic to do this week, and I thought of this one, part of the reason was it popped in my head just randomly. It was like a shower thought. The other, a couple of weeks ago, it was just one of those, something like that, where I don't know if I woke up or I was in the shower or something. I was like, whatever happened to that case? And it was weird because it wasn't like I'd seen anything, I don't think, on the web or anything like that that reminded me of it. But it was just one of those things where it was so baffling. And then, you know, just like any case, you know, something else comes along and it can get forgotten if nothing comes up. So that was the next thought in my head was, I was like, well, gosh, what had other people said, or had anything else been discovered or sort of tried since we had last talked about it? Like you said, almost exactly a year ago. So with that in mind, I thought it would be interesting to look at, or to mention a couple of specific things that we kind of came across this week as we were looking through, you know, the different materials and trying to collect it. I mean, I think it's worth pointing out that today's show is going to be like, there's going to be bringing in specific key details that probably got covered in much more depth in the last show. You know what I mean? So this is kind of a commercial for the last show. If right now, when we're talking about something, you feel a little bit lost or that we're not giving enough context, well, it's like, well, we did give a bunch of context about a year ago. And so there's that, also that episode sitting out there.
Yeah. But I also want to say that episode is, I feel like we've improved a lot since, you know, what it was like episode 87. But I will say that I do agree, we do have a lot more, like, maybe details about the potential suspects, right? Even though I think we're here to discuss what we think about this case, I think a good thing, one of the good things that we're returning to this case a year after is because back then, maybe the whole structure of the podcast was like, okay, let's try to make sure I get all of the details in, everything's in, but we don't really talk about what we think happens. And I think when you just focus on portraying the timeline without actually really putting in effort to think about the case and think about what we are actually seeing right now on the YouTube channel, by the way, we are looking at the CCTV footage, we really can't, you know, just analyze what we really think is happening here, because I feel like there's at least a few observations from this murder that we can clearly make, and I guess that's what we're here to do, right?
Yeah, and then actually the awesome part is, since we've did our last show on this topic, well, at least one of our favorite YouTubers, Dr. Grande, covered the show. Covered this topic, so that's always interesting to hear his point of view. But also, there was one other there was an expert that I think was actually brought in. I think they were brought in by the FBI. I'm not sure if it was the FBI or local. That's on me. I should have been more clear about that. I think the thing said the FBI brought in this person who is a forensic podiatrist. I'd never heard that term before. So that's interesting to hear. Like this is kind of a different, I mean, I would say Dr. Grande is an expert. He's definitely an expert on one topic. Dr. Grande, by the way, you know, was making a whole crap load of content for a while there. So I'm not surprised he covered this case and, you know, pretty much everything else, everybody else covered in the past couple of years. He seems to cover it like in a month. So that being said, yeah, it was interesting. If you don't mind, I'd like to kind of lead off almost with like the least important expert of it. But I thought it was interesting to see like a kind of an instead of saying every man or every woman, let's say every person, you know, this, I think this person was, he seems to have been taking kind of a hobby approach to approaching cold cases. I think he was also a former law enforcement.
Can I just to clarify, because this is new information. Once again, we do our separate research, so I don't really am well aware of your research. Just to, because I'm curious. So you're going to be talking about the dude that the FBI pulled in.
So I got three different, let's say, videos or bullets, I guess, to talk about today or to try to work into the conversation. So I got Dr. Grande, you know, who I guess we would call him kind of a neutral observer, but somebody who's more of an expert, coming from the psychology point of view, which I think, you know, we do, it's always interesting to hear his point of view about what could motivate somebody. I have kind of a former law enforcement person who wasn't hired by anybody, just, you know, just like you and me, thought the true crime stuff is interesting, cold cases are interesting, and he thought he would give his two cents looking at the recordings. And what I thought actually was interesting about that was this guy kind of went in with not that much background, so it was kind of interesting to hear his opinions, and then he took a pause and then he got more background on the case after his initial opinions. It was kind of interesting to hear what somebody who was a former police officer thought, you know, before his ideas were contaminated. And I don't mean contaminated in a bad way. You know what I mean? I just mean that before an idea entered his head that wasn't there before, when he was just looking at it with, I guess, fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then finally, there's this forensic podiatrist, who had some interesting stuff to say. He didn't have a lot to say, but what he did say, I don't know. I think it kind of flavors the case in terms of, you know, someone who is a subject matter expert, because we had, you know, we, all of us, you, me, Grande, and the world kind of talked about the way this person walked. And we all made a lot of guesses about, you know, why they would walk that way and why they were wearing the clothes they were, you know, the whole thing. So I thought that it was pretty interesting to see these fresh opinions, on top of what we'd already covered last time.
Of course. I think I wasn't aware that you came to the show with this amazing structure. So please, man, if you have prepared to talk about three different opinions, it's really good, because once again, the more opinions, I don't know if this is better or it's worse, but we're definitely, yeah. But we want to do it.
Well, maybe this time we'll get to flip it too, where I do less filibustering when I talk. I'll try not to go on the big long rants. I will mention that, you know, you've made some improvements to the show structure lately, and I know when I look at our numbers, it seems like people are definitely sticking with the show longer and enjoying the show. Especially our last two episodes have done really well. So, with that in mind, let me see if I can craft this in a way that keeps things interesting in the same way. Okay, so let me start with the former police officer. Maybe I'll provide the link later to drop it. It wasn't a visually interesting episode, video. It really was a kind of a, you know, this is a beginning, let's say, YouTuber, right, who doesn't have all his equipment yet, but he had a good opinion. And one of the things he said was interesting that I think made me perk up right away was, let's rewind it back to the car that was turning on the lights in the parking lot nearby. That specific event, it was interesting because when he looked at that, what he said, it reminded him of, he said not just him, but he said a lot of other police officers would think of this, is that when people steal a car to commit another crime, so, you know, you're stealing a car to cover your tracks so that when you commit that crime, you don't really care if they see your license plate because it's not your car. That's what he thought was going on. He said, you know what? To him, it looked like somebody that was in a car that wasn't familiar with them. They were trying to figure out where all the headlight switches were and things like that, because what they were going to do is, a lot of times, at least in this guy's, you know, area of expertise, he said a lot of times criminals doing capers would black out the car in the parking lot while leaving it running, and then also drive out of the area with the lights out, right? Because you don't really want to broadcast that you're a car getting out of area. I've seen that before, like on Cops and things like that, you know, like different TV shows and YouTube videos.
Wait, can I step in? So what does that mean? Yeah. Keep out the car?
Blackout. So what I'm saying is you're in your car, and you know how, like, you know, I'll say this for the benefit of anybody that doesn't drive a car or use public transportation. Car has a different headlight settings. So there's, like, you know, everything's off. There's, like, you know, just some of the kind of the warning lights. It's usually illegal. In most states, it's illegal to run. If you need headlights on, you better have your headlights on. So when people run without their headlights on, and it wasn't because they forgot, sometimes it's because they're trying to hide from the cops. So let's say you're going to go do a burglary and you've got like a getaway driver. Well, the getaway driver isn't sitting there in the parking lot with his brights on. He's maybe running the car. He's got the headlights off, and maybe he or she wants to practice doing getaway driving with the lights out to make sure they can kind of like feel the dimensions of the car. Oh. And you know what I mean? Like they're like, and then where's the switch? Because that's true. Like I know when I rent a car, you know, you spend 5 minutes figuring out where all the switches are, and you know, the mirror switches and everything else.
Totally. If I can quickly step in after reviewing this footage of the car last night before we did the recording, right? Also a quick background about this footage as well. This footage was taken 2 hours before the culprit entered the church. So it's still unknown if the same person who entered the church and killed Missy Beavers is the same person driving this 2010 Nissan Altima. We can only speculate. But when I looked at this footage last night, to me, it reminded of or looked like someone who's learning how to drive a car. For instance, I actually looked a little bit about the Nissan Altimas, and I'm not really sure if Nissan Altimas were making automatics transmission cars. I'm pretty sure they did as well. But I also know that they definitely made manual as well. I looked into it. They definitely made manuals. Now, I know that in America, it's a lot more popular to have an automatic car. And maybe most Americans don't even realize this. But when you are first learning how to drive a car, and when you're learning how to drive a manual transmission car, you will... As you're a beginner, you will actually like shut down the car by accident on multiple occasions, because like you really have to get a hang of the stick shift, like as you shift to first gear to have the car moving and not like shutting down. Because if you shift at the wrong time, or if you release one of the pedals, right, I don't recall what they're called in English, if you release them too fast, then the car will stall. So to me, it looked like actually myself when I was first learning how to drive my car, and I drive a manual stick shift, and I would actually go to a parking lot and I would do exactly what is seen in the footage. I would actually stop and try to move a little bit, then stop again, try to move a little bit, practicing moving from a standstill, like practicing just the motion of moving, because it takes a bit of practice when you're just a new person and you just start driving for the first time. So to me, it looked like someone that was potentially learning how to drive the car. But the point that you brought up is also very interesting, and I could definitely see how this could be someone who has stolen the car and was maybe preparing to do a robbery or something like that.
I will say that this video is so relaxing when I look at it. I almost kind of want to be laying there sleeping in the car.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it's kind of nice to just drive around and go park someplace relaxed and empty like that. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? The person could have had insomnia. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. I'll say even, you know, to your point, even if it wasn't a manual transmission car, yeah, just it is a good to practice in empty parking lots. And I know I've done that. I did that as a learning driver. And I know I did that with anybody I was trying to teach to drive. So,
but really quickly, It would, since this is happening at 2 a.m. in the morning, learning how to drive a car at 2 a.m. is a little bit odd to me. Now, it does make sense that you practice at later times when there's less traffic, but not necessarily 2 a.m. You know what I mean? I don't think the traffic changes all that much from, let's say, midnight and 2 a.m. It should be the same amount of traffic. So I wouldn't see the point of a new driver practicing at 2 a.m. But once again, maybe this was a situation where there was a, you know, the stereotypical boyfriend teaching girlfriend, or vice versa, girlfriend teaching boyfriend how to drive a car type of a situation. They had like a night out, and, you know, maybe there's two drivers and one of them is, you know, teaching the other how to drive. I could see it happening that way as well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that I think I mentioned before, night parking, which is a euphemism for a lot of things, seems to be pretty common. It's kind of, I mean, I guess it almost looks a little bit romantic and like kind of a teenager without a lot of money kind of way, a little, you know, dark.
Ooh, I'm like, really sorry for interrupting. Yeah. For everyone who's listening to this podcast, I did not realize we had this shot of the vehicle. Wait, dude, if you could pay attention to the CCTV, this is very interesting to me. Look. This is a pretty, two more seconds, the car will show up in this particular angle of the footage from the parking lot. See, we can actually see, I think this is the most up close of the vehicle. I didn't realize we had such an up close view. I'm looking at it. To me, it looks like the back seat is definitely, the back seat right here is definitely awakened. There means I only see, from this angle, we can only see that someone is driving, but we can't really tell who's driving, you know what I mean?
Yeah, or even, like, if there's anyone else in there from that angle. But, yeah, it's interesting. And, like, yeah, to your point, I'll say that later in the show, I'm going to argue that even if the person in this car didn't actually commit the act, I have a scenario where they're plausibly involved.
Ooh.
But it's a little bit of a long shot, but when I lay it out, it'll be interesting. So, okay. All right. I'll stick a pin in this part of the topic for now, but I thought it was interesting to hear that guy's opinion. Now, the other part of his opinion before he stopped his recording and then I think caught up on what was really kind of some of the facts of the case. One of the things that he also said was that, you know, when he was first watching this person in all the SWAT and police gear doing their thing, breaking into the place, he said, well, this is a burglar. To him, it looked like a burglary. The way the person was acting, his initial thoughts were it was a burglary that had been interrupted. He thought that it was probably, and this is something he did maintain throughout his speech, he thought it was somebody who was getting off, somebody who had kind of a fantasy of being a police officer. He didn't think it was really a police officer. He said the way the person approached the corners and stuff didn't seem like it was somebody that had police training, that they were kind of like, just, they looked like somebody in a costume, not somebody who actually had kind of lived that police life. They're sort of just, you know, sauntering around. But yeah, at first he was like. But the other interesting thing was he thought it was a woman.
Oh,
off the bat, he's like, yeah, he's like, and that, I thought that was fascinating. So right away he like, because there's, you know, there's some weird thing with this, and you know, maybe it's projection, but there's like this vibe that some of us get when we watch this video. Well, all of us seem to get a lot of us get a vibe either way, right? And who knows who's right, who's correct in that. My vibe is that, yeah, the person walks weird. Now, here's something that's interesting was the he honed in on this, the duck walk kind of thing that we see, the weird pigeon-toned walk. What I couldn't help but wonder was, gosh, wouldn't you walk like that if you were wearing shoes that were too big? Like, if you're wearing big clown shoes, you know, you can't walk straight. You can't walk with two parallel lines, I guess. Your feet are not going to be two parallel lines because you're going to be lifting your knee really high. Humans are lazy, so we try to walk in a way that is the best combination of like least effort for best results.
Yeah,
usually, right? Yeah. So I thought to myself, when you're wearing big, overly sized shoes, A, you would think you would trip in them. So it's a little weird that I don't really see the. Does the person ever stumble? It's been a little while since I've watched all the footage like we are now. So one of the weird things, I was like, well, how would the person, if this was the first time they ever did this, how would they not stumble? So I'm thinking, okay, this isn't the first time, even if they're wearing clothes that don't fit them. You know, if this guy's theory was true that this person has kind of a fetish around dressing up like a police officer, well, it makes sense. Then they've practiced a lot. Then they might actually be fairly competent. You know what I mean? In terms of, yeah.
Yeah, really quickly, just to add a little detail to what you're saying. Also, let's remember that, you know, physical examination of the crime scene showed that this person actually tried getting in to the church by one of the windows. At first, he tried to break into the church through a window. But even if he was unsuccessful, he couldn't pry open the window. But even if he would have pried open the window, he couldn't. Or why am I saying he? The suspect, sorry. Because we don't know if it's a man or a woman. The suspect, well, the killer. We know it's a killer. Jeez, I'm fumbling here. The killer couldn't even fit through the window. So that was another thing why I would suggest that maybe this wasn't a burglar, because it seemed like they weren't well prepared. It could have been a bad burglar. And also another thing is, like, a church for a burglary is a pretty weird objective, in my opinion. I feel like there are better places to burglarize than a church, but who knows.
So, you know, it's funny because, I mean, it's almost amazing, because what you said in a lot of ways echoes what this guy said after he had a chance to kind of pause things and think it through a little bit and look at the background. And I think he didn't even realize it was a church at first. So that was, you know, there was a couple of things that were maybe impacting how he looked at it, because, yeah, when he came back to it, he had a bunch of questions. I think he was much more bothered about his burglary, excuse for the exact reasons you said. Like, why would you burglarize a church? I mean, it does happen. There probably is some kind of loose change and things worth stealing, but it's not the first place you would look to go do a burglary. And then, yeah, if the person was some kind of organized burglar, why did they try to break in through a window they couldn't even fit through? And this person doesn't look like they would have had a good time getting through a window and landing without getting hurt on the other side of it, you know, or cutting themselves through it. So that's a good point. Here's one thing that he said. I don't have an answer to this, but it's one of those food for thought clues out there, because in a case where it seems like there's few real clues that have gone anywhere for all these little leads, here's one thing I thought of was, you know, he thought that the clothes, because they were big, were probably either weird cheap knockoffs or borrowed from somebody. But if they borrowed it from somebody, well, that was what it started a train of thought where I was like, okay, well, then somebody could trace it to this person. But I thought, well, even if they weren't borrowed from anybody, and by the way, these aren't even like real police clothes. These are some kind of weird knockoffs, I believe. They're not, I don't think they're not, they haven't been correlated with any like other actual police department. I think that they already searched down that lead.
Yeah, the one piece of information that I read about this case is that some people are stating that the outfit was actually almost like a Halloween outfit type of a thing. It wasn't a serious SWAT gear. It was just a replica.
It's just nonsense. Yeah, it's so that part of me was wondering about that. Like, what, why is it that can't be tracked? Because you think, okay, well, that costume was only sold, you know, they only made so many. It was only sold in certain stores. You would think there would be some way to triangulate on that. Maybe it's too hard. The other thing I thought of is, well, what if it's one of those things where it was being sold through like a swap meet, or eBay? Well, swap meet's even better because that's a person-to-person sale. So that means someone might actually remember, not just something, you know what I mean, not just something you bought at Walmart that you're tracking through like some kind of stock number, but like our inventory number, but you know, a person-to-person sale. I mean, that's often how cases are broken, is that someone does that. I will say also that you know, even on eBay or Etsy or something like that, like that's also a person-to-person sale. It's just online, so it's trackable. So okay, that was the other thought that came out of that. Yeah.
Just really quickly, what I want to add to this is that for me personally, as I'm watching this clip of this intruder, this person to me doesn't look like someone who would go that far as to hide their tracks where they bought the outfit from. To me, they look quite clumsy.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be one of the big questions that interweaves itself through this the show today too, is that as we look at this person and these different aspects of this crime, are they some kind of master criminal who somehow figured out the perfect disguise that foils police and retains DNA evidence, right? Because there doesn't seem to be the DNA evidence we would expect, maybe because the person's wearing a mask and all this stuff.
Good point.
It's holding in. And also, it's worth pointing out that since this crime happened at a church, and a church probably has as much DNA and crap floating around at it around it as maybe like a part-time coffee shop or something, right?
Yes.
I mean, a church has, you know, 10 to 100 times the traffic that a residential dwelling has. Yeah, so there's probably a lot of reasons why it might be hard to get DNA, but for all that, there should have been other things, footprints, things like that. Miraculously, none of this stuff so far has tracked back to a person. All we have is, are sort of these images and this gait and the way the person moves. So maybe that's actually a good time to transition to the forensic podiatrist.
Of course, really quickly, just to conclude, that dude who was a former law enforcement officer, as I understand, who looked at it. So overall, his conclusions for this case is that after looking at the details, then he wasn't that certain if this was a burglar, right? Did he? Because I never seen that video, and I might look at it after we done recording today. But I want to ask, did he come up with any conclusion? That first person that you talked about, did he come up with any conclusions for this case?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because it seemed, I hope I'm not misquoting him, because I did kind of watch it alongside a bunch of other stuff, but and he was a little bit all over the place, but it sounded like he really thought that it was some weird person doing some person that maybe burglary and burglary was not the main motive, and that murder may not have even been the original motive, that this person was interrupted doing something that was more about themselves potentially, because they go in, you know, they're not in any hurry. They go in there, they're sort of wandering around this place. It could well be that this person had no idea that this church, I mean, who would think a church is going to do a fitness class at 5 in the morning in the middle of a week, right? It's not Sunday. So, you know, nobody, I mean, that almost seems like it's not McDonald's or something. It's not a preschool. It's not some place that's got hour. It has hours. They are different, and the way it serves the community is different than like a McDonald's, where the McDonald's is going to be open at this time, it's going to close at that time, and you know that's going to happen. So if you're going to do a burglary, don't come to McDonald's at 10 in the morning, because someone's working.
I just want to add, that's a good point. You know, that's a good point. So to conclude, basically, that person probably thinks it was about them. This person could be potentially some sort of a potential psychopath who just likes to dress up and mess things up.
Yeah, like a LARPer, gone wrong.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like they're kind of like, it's almost like it was interesting. The guy had... He had like a weird, interesting profile that I had not even thought of, where he's like, this person's like, they're doing a naughty thing. They're doing a burglary, but they're dressed like a cop. And because he said, otherwise it didn't make sense, because that cop outfit does nothing. That cop outfit doesn't look real. That cop outfit is like briefly shocking for a minute. And then he doesn't feel like it buys anybody enough time to get out of trouble.
Yes.
You know, to either convince somebody, their police, I mean, all the person has to do is take a photo or follow them, and you know it's too late.
Yeah. I agree. So, cool.
Yeah. Okay. So the next one was there was a what happened in this case was there's this guy who's a forensic podiatrist. I don't have his name, but there's a couple of videos about him. This is on me for not doing
it's okay,
better research.
Man, it's
feel
okay.
Bad. I should really know the name of the guy. But he's the only forensic podiatrist they brought in. So what's a forensic podiatrist? Well, a podiatrist is somebody who's a foot doctor, essentially, and that's his whole thing is, you know, feet and you know, why people walk a certain way and health conditions around that. And one of the things he does is he can take things like shoes and match them pretty well to a person, like almost like a fingerprint. Like you can essentially take a pair of shoes and maybe footprints and things like that, and he actually strips these shoes down, and he goes on to make the case that almost like Cinderella, the slipper doesn't fit anybody else. And apparently this evidence is compelling enough that there have been convictions using his evidence. Now, that being said, I mean, it's pretty impressive. Like, this guy testifies all the time and helps convict people. Now, that being said, he does say that the trials that he participates in do not rely on him as the only or the sole or the main piece of evidence. So that's an interesting little disclaimer, because to me that kind of softens or waters down a little bit, like you know, how some aspect of how concrete it all is. But regardless, okay, it's not voodoo so far from what I can tell. So, okay, it was interesting when he looked at it. He had kind of a whole other set of circumstances. So, like, right off the top, he's like, oh, yeah, well, you can't tell if it's a man or a woman by the walk. Now,
ooh, that's good. That's a good point.
It's good. It's controversial. It's interesting. So, that, I mean, on one hand, I mean, far be it for me to tell this guy. I mean, this guy's like way older than me, too. This guy's like 10, 20 years older than me, at least. So he's been around a long time. That's what I mean. He's seen some things. He might actually know what he's talking about, right? So, yeah, but for me, I find that hard to believe, because, you know, men and women have different hip ratios. There's some other things that might affect the way weight is distributed. But then it is interesting, because then when you look at some of the men, well, I know one man specifically that's been compared. When you look at I think you even showed it, the picture of the Missy Beaver's father-in-law.
Yeah,
I mean, that guy, in bad, poor old guy. I'm not here to put him down. I mean, I'm not in super great shape either. But yeah, he's kind of like, you look at him from the side and he's got a pretty substantial belly going on there. And, you know, he's kind of hunched over. He's kind of, you know, his spine's doing this weird thing. And yeah, it's pretty similar. Pretty similar, I would say. Now, that doesn't mean that's him, but it means that maybe the person who is in this outfit is similarly encumbered by excess body weight, you know, in the same places.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's a little eerie. The thing is, it does seem clear that whoever is in that costume is probably not a frail person. Would that be?
Yeah. Really, really quickly, another thing, when I looked at this comparison video of Randy Beavers, who was Missy's father-in-law, and the, you know, the culprit from the church video, they do look like they're walking in a similar manner. However, law enforcement stated that the culprit from the church video is between 5 foot two and 5 foot seven. Now, I don't really know the height of Brandon Beavers, and obviously, if we knew the height of the guy, I mean, it's hard to tell from this footage because everyone seems to be in the same kind of a height. So it's hard for me to distinguish if Randy Beavers is like 6 foot one or 5 foot eight. It's quite impossible, I think, from this footage. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, we could like probably zero in if this is the same person just by looking at the height, right? Hello guys, this is Juras from the future, working on the post-production of this episode. Want to clarify a little bit of information regarding Randy Beavers. It appears that Randy Beavers, Brandon's father, was definitely not the person seen in the church's CCTV. Apparently, Randy Beavers was with his wife traveling by an RV in Oceanside, California at the time of the murder. Apparently, they have a picture posted on social media on Sunday afternoon on a golf course in Oceanside with a third party. Plus, police said they independently clarified Randy's alibi through interviews and electronic records. It isn't him in the church, apparently. So that's just something that I've looked at after the fact. So definitely want to get that out of the way for sure.
Yeah, and it's interesting because this podiatrist said that, well, let me put it this way. The reporter asked him, because I think he was trying not to volunteer too much, but he wasn't going to lie or, you know, not say something. So the reporter asked him, he said, hey, is it true that the police, that, you know, the investigator showed you a bunch of recordings of different people? And then how'd you compare it to the person in this video? And he said, yeah, it's true. And he said, well, what were the results? And he said, out of all that, one person was somebody that he said walked in a similar way.
Ooh, so he didn't state exactly who it was, but he said that
not even the gender. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But he said that someone from the people that were investigated by law enforcement, someone from those people actually had a similar walk to the
Well, you know, I'll say, I don't know if I can go that far. I'll say that at least, you know what I mean? Cause he's dancing around it. So it might be one of those things where the police could have also mixed in like some dummies, you know, and I don't mean dummies, but like fake ones. So just normal people, some control suspects, just not to have the guy just kind of test, see, like, let's say, you know, which I think would just be smart anyways, from maybe a courtroom perspective in the future, so that you could kind of, you know, if you pick somebody that really matched it and you had mixed in a lot of average everybody's from, you know what I mean, if you had like 10 real suspects and 50 just normal people in there, and the guy picked one of the 10 real suspects, then that would be pretty interesting, at least to the investigators, if not to like a jury. Anyway, that I don't know how many people they showed him, but yeah, he at least said, you know, out of the people that they showed him, whoever they were, that was what he matched. So I guess they weren't giving him that much information. It also sounds like he saw more of the video than maybe the rest of us have seen, but he has not seen the actual murder scene. If that makes sense.
Okay, that
so,
makes sense.
Yeah, there was just, yeah, I mean, so I mean, I guess it's trying to say that there's still, maybe there's also an assurance to the family that some of the privacy is being protected, even when they're having investigators do stuff. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's he did, of course, call out the very specific nuances to the walk, that, you know, he even differentiated it between the right leg and the left leg. The right leg has a very particular step. He said, listen, a lot of people have this exact walk because of the same health issues, you know, between being overweight and age and all these other things that can affect, what makes people walk. I mean, I will say that duck walk or that pigeon-toed thing or that kind of stuff where you that's actually not supposed to be very a very good way to walk in terms of like I guess athletic performance, but I don't know what the implications are for like your health. So anyways, all right, so that was that guy. And that I again I think brings some other questions, but I'm gonna stick a pin in some of the bigger questions because Dr. Grande was the next one, and he did his summary. I have he had a lot. I mean, I don't know how he can do a 15-minute show on something,
Oh
and
yeah.
or however long it was. Yeah, and he has all this stuff in there. It's so dense. I don't even know how he does it.
Yeah, I just want to say that Grandy has like some sort of a secret sauce where he like co co he like compiles all of this
Compression
information.
algorithm.
Yeah, he like he definitely knows how to compress information into like 15 minutes. But that's why I love the guy so much because like you literally can get completely introduced to a case by watching a 15-minute video that Dr. Grandy does. Maybe that's his secret sauce for his success on YouTube.
Yeah, he really seems he has a good workflow with those things, and yeah, he sticks to that outline and he just busts those things out. So yeah, okay, well, rather than what I'd like to do is just kind of go bring up point by point and we can
Of
just
course.
discuss some of the stuff he said. So one of the things he mentioned was that, as you pointed out, there were these things going on in the relationship. In fact, I'll say that when I saw that was one of the other things I watched that I didn't mention. I think I might have dropped the link in the and I think I dropped the link in our outline for later. But there was an interview with Brandon, and so this gets into that area again where when we it's always like this, right? Because when you talk about victims. Victims don't need to be perfect. Victims can do things that put them at higher risk, but it doesn't mean they deserve for it to happen, right? So when we say that like things are happening or that maybe somebody is doing something that like we're judging or or whatever it is, if I have an opinion about it, it doesn't mean anything bad about that person. We all have opinions and nobody deserves, no matter if they're a
Seems like you got some dirt on the guy now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get a vibe, but I guess at the end of the day, I just want to make it clear because it's like maybe there's like a public service announcement. Nobody deserves to die for whatever they did in a relationship. When it comes to like love and affection and things like that, yeah, if somebody's touching children or something, that's a different story. But when we're talking about like man, woman, whatever it is, husband, wife, husband, wife, whatever it is.
Right.
People in relationships, it always gets dirty. That's the one universal, and by dirty, I mean like messy. That's the one universal,
Yeah.
right? I keep on saying it, saying the wrong word. Yeah. Things get complicated. It's just the one universal of human understanding. I think, unfortunately, that's probably one of the main causes of murder, right? Homicide
Right.
is people's expectations around that and people feeling like they own the other person and that sense of betrayal and the whole thing. And okay, so why I'm saying this is when I see the interviews with Brandon, I mean, his words are right. And like you said, he has an alibi, his dad has an alibi. The reason people ask, well, who cares about his dad? Well, as we mentioned in the other show, and I think we mentioned here, his dad was actually a suspect at one point because here's the thing. Brandon apparently was not super truthful about what was going on in his relationship and his financial status to investigators when they first asked. Then they dig
Oh,
deeper.
really?
Yeah, I believe, yeah, I believe that's what Dr. Grande said in his video about it. And then right after they says, and then they find out the multiple affairs from Missy and the bad things that are definitely signs of a rockiness going on in a marriage. Now, look, nobody likes to admit to that, right? I mean, it's embarrassing, right? Any kind of stuff, any kind of not just a marriage, any kind of relationship, and stuff going on, especially if there's infidelity or and financial stuff too. I mean, these are like this is stuff that people feel very intensely about. I could understand why the guy didn't want to admit it to possibly a bunch of other men even, right? My wife's cheating on me and we don't have any money. I can't, you know, I'm not bringing home the bacon. Like, who wants to admit that? So maybe that's why. That'll be like my little, you know, kind of advocating for him. But then when he's talking about it, I feel like there's resentment from him. Now, maybe it's justified resentment, right? Because, all this stuff happens. He has all this attention on him. And I'll say that when I look at the pictures of Missy, and I think going back to what we talked about last time, it was clear she was in the middle of some kind of major, like, midlife crisis and was drastically revamping her looks for something. And, you know, Brandon, by the way, he looks like me. I mean, just like average, you know, middle-aged guy, kind of overweight, not looking like a young guy anymore. I have to wonder, on top of being enthusiastic, I mean, it feels good for people that love to work out. I get it. The endorphins and everything, it's like a drug. It feels good. You feel so good when you're done with a workout. But I feel like I sense cosmetic surgery. I guess let me put it that way. Someone else can fill in the blank.
Dude, just to make more sense, like I'm getting lost here. So wait, are you saying that? No, dude. Let me just ask this question. You're suggesting that Missy Beavers potentially had cosmetic surgery?
I think so. When I look at the dimensions, you know why? Because you can see the veins in her arms in some of the pictures. And the proportions for the kind of low body fat you'd have to have. I mean, I'll say it. So, and for an example, people that do those, both female bodybuilders that do like the extreme bodybuilding, but even the Miss Fitness and,
of course,
all those kinds of things. I mean, a lot of them, do plastic surgery because, your breasts, case in point, men and women. When you lose fat, well, breasts are made out of fat and you will not really have the same breast you have when you lose most of your body fat for fitness.
Yeah, it makes
sense. So like from that perspective, if you want to also male, whatever, wherever you are, if you want to also have big breasts and be down under 10% body fat, well then, for example, I'm not saying for sure she did it, but I would heavily suggest that to me, it looks like a strong possibility that that was going on. So let's say that's true. Big if. Like, what's going on here? Why the big revamping of your life? Is it because, she's not happy? This guy Brandon isn't doing it for her anymore. They got married too young, or obviously things change and people get older, your brains change, your hormones change, and your life changes. Like, you're not the same person at 45 that you were at 25, et cetera. I mean, it's probably a good thing. But, I've seen like these midlife crises in my peers at younger ages. And I think we all know the stereotype of men. There's a stereotype that's been around for a long time of the man who hits 45 or 50 and suddenly grows a ponytail, and buys a Porsche and divorces his wife. So I have to wonder, is this sort of like is this one version of that on kind of the woman's side? So
sorry man for interrupting. Maybe you were making you were going to make a point, but I just want to quickly revert to the fact that we're still talking about Dr. Grandi's points. And is this one of the points about the physical that Dr. Grandi made, or is this like your observation?
It's a combination of both. So the physical thing, the thing about Brandon saying that, I'm tying in what I sensed in the interview I saw. I think it was an interview that had happened since we did our show. It was one of those, like, it's been 5 years, let's talk to this guy kind of interviews. It was between that, I could feel resentment. Like, he didn't seem that He didn't seem that broken up about the whole thing. Let's put it that way. And maybe he has kind of a good reason if he feels like really betrayed. Not that he wouldn't want anybody to be dead, but like this whole thing has made a lot of problems for him too. Just, you know, like, because this show is about opinions today. This is a casual conversation. It's interesting to see what other people think when they see this interview. So why do I say this? Well, I say this because when Dr. Grande looked at this, I mean, his main conclusions about this case, because I'm going to skip to the end before I go back to some of the finer points. But one of his conclusions was, look, if he thought that if it was a personal attack, it was a woman, which is interesting. He was like, if it's a personal attack, it's a woman. If it was a burglar that was disturbed in the middle of a crime and did something stupid, it almost certainly was a man statistically, because most burglaries tend to be men just by numbers, by sheer numbers. So he's playing the odds there. But the if it's personal, it's a woman thing was interesting, because I thought, well, gosh, that's kind of discounting the idea that Brandon might still have had something to do with this thing. And even his father, now everyone says, well, they both got alibis. And, you know, I guess that's true. And I guess that's been investigated and fleshed out. I will say that, by the way, though, we've covered cases where people had alibis and they actually did something, and they did it. There was that case about I can't remember his name, the neighborhood bully. Remember that guy, the one that the whole neighborhood assassinated?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That guy had an excuse every time. That guy had rock solid alibis, and he was busy, you know, running around like a terrorist trying to kill his neighbor. So, you know, the alibi doesn't always mean something to me, but presumably maybe they have like some actual physical proof that he was somewhere. Okay, so this is where this is. Now let's go back to the car thing I was talking about. I'm just going to clear my throat for a second.
Of course.
Okay, so, yeah, sorry. Took some Pepto-Bismol. It's kind of sitting hard on my vocal cords. So, yeah, so my thought was, look, here was a thought. This is just hypothesis, just opinion, not accusing anybody of anything. Don't sue me. So, let's suppose somebody wanted to kill their wife. Here's the thing is there's like a day and a place. And one of the things that was mentioned also was that apparently Missy owned a gun and carried it, but she was known to not bring it with her from the car to the class or wherever it was she was going. So she had this gun, but then she would leave it in the car all the time. Maybe they had fights about it. You know, like I could see if I lived in a state where it was legal for us to carry guns, and I would almost certainly carry a gun then. Don't judge me. Then, and my wife did too. I would probably be also, I would be annoyed if it turned out that she was leaving it in the car all the time, because then I'd be like, well, what's the point of it? And then it could get stolen, right? So there's two problems. And that would be like something that maybe would be a chip on my shoulder, and maybe other people would hear about it eventually. So I thought, well, it's interesting, because what if, suppose there's an angry husband, you know, fearful of being abandoned, sort of resentful that this, you know, this wife has suddenly turned herself around, and now she's like, you know, I mean, she's relatively attractive, and let's face it, the dating market is far easier for at least the casual dating market is far easier for somebody that looks like her than someone that looks like him, and it also goes for the sort of the gender imbalance that way as well. So yeah, that's just the facts of supply and demand. So from his perspective, you know, just like a lot of other angry husbands or ex-husbands we've seen out there, it could really just be like a big grudge. And he thinks, well, how can I do this? Well, why not the perfect crime? So the reason why I wonder about the person with the headlights, as random and strange as this is sometimes when people do hire or try to hire, let's say like a contract killer or anything like that, anything that's a criminal act or enterprise, the smartest thing would be to not have a connection. Like if you can have somebody who's a middle person who doesn't really know the other people involved, but who's part of the plan, then that person, on one hand, is extremely valuable because they're the right per time. They're facilitating the plan, but then if they get caught, they don't know anything. They don't know who hired who hired the let's say the assassin, the hit person, if there's a hit person involved, they're just maybe somebody they were told, listen, if we can if person A, if Scout A goes to the place and like and they see that like Missy is getting ready in her car, heading to the church, then you drive over, you know what I mean? Then you drive over to this place, flash your lights. Someone else is going to see your lights. They're going to drive to a different part of town, and they're going to just do donuts in this parking lot, flashing their lights for half an hour.
Oh, so this is how you connect the potential.
Yeah. So my thought is maybe there's like this kind of sequence of actions where somebody arrives at this place and does this whole kind of song and dance of pretending to break in, and you know, this whole show in front of the cameras. I've kind of, I think I mentioned it last show that we did on this, even the breaking in looks kind of half-hearted. Like it doesn't look goal oriented. It just looks like the person's like, oh, this is what happens when I slam a crowbar, a hammer into a door right here. It's like, I don't really know how like, sincere.
Like the following footage where the culprit seems to be banging on the, what seems to be a wall for no apparent reason with a hammer.
And they're just hanging out. And like, on one hand, it's like, yeah, I guess if you didn't think anybody was going to come to the church, it's weird. But wasn't there an alarm that went off? That was the other thing I think Dr. Grande mentioned, was an alarm went off and no one ever came, right? And that's a whole other topic I'm not going to get back into, about why I feel so strongly about that. I'll talk about it again another show sometime. But yeah, anyways, just because a burglar alarm goes off in different cities, the police don't always respond.
Right, right.
And so I don't know if that person knew that or if they're just that out of it. Or you know what I mean? So that's really weird. It's weird that they don't, for somebody that's doing something that's a felony potentially, that could end up with them locked up, why are they taking their time? So from that perspective, that kind of leans more heavily towards they were just waiting.
So really quickly to revert back to your earlier proposed theory. So Brandon Beavers in this case would be the one organizing this really complex hit.
Well, so he wouldn't have to, someone like him, they wouldn't even have to organize it. So they would be coming, someone else would be selling the service. So what I'm saying is potentially somebody's offered the service. I don't know. I mean, at one point in the United States, there was something called Murder Incorporated that was literally like the Uber of hitmen for organized crime. So different organized crime organizations all over the U.S. could basically tap into this organization, and you could get a hitman on the other side of the country that had nothing to do with your organization, didn't know who you were, didn't know anything about it except that someone told them to go hit that person and that they would get money. And this organization, that's what they specialized in was insulating the person who made the request from the person who fulfilled the request. So that's what I'm wondering here is, if that person, that weird, you know, like I said, that person in the parking lot had anything to do with it, that was one way where that person could just be somebody whose job it is to just, if they see, they're supposed to wait in one place to see some lights, they go someplace else and they run their headlights, and maybe someone else on their way in knows that, yeah, it's a go, go to the place, break in, do your red herring show.
Oh yeah. But it would be it would be like a situation where it's not like they're not indicating that Missy has arrived to the church, because let's remember the headlights were flashed and all that stuff was done approximately like 2.5 hours before Missy even entered it. Maybe it was it was more of a signal that I got the money from the dude who ordered it, so you can begin your plan, whatever.
Yeah, it could be something where like they don't even want to have cell phones involved. Now, you might ask me like, where did you get this weird idea, Glenn? Actually, I read a book. It was a book about like snipers and stuff. And it was giving an example of like the Irish Republican Army, how they would set up, especially now in modern times with all the DNA stuff, how they would set up, let's say, a terrorist act against a British soldier And it was interesting. It was like a whole company. It was like all these guys that didn't know each other, and they'd been recommended to the organization, and they had no way of really turning in each other. And at the end of the day, the whole thing was all sanitized, and you know, it could be, it was all like deniable. Yeah. So it was interesting from that perspective. Who knows? But it was sort of a fun little theory. Okay, so that was thing. Now, I guess now I want to get still talking about Grande stuff, but just kind of spinning off of thoughts from Grande's conversation. Here's something I thought of with this culprit and the weapon. This person, let's say this person did go there with the intention of killing Missy or someone like her. Let's say it didn't have to be Missy. Let's say they were going to kill somebody tonight. But what if it was Missy? And Missy is, at this point, someone who's in physical shape. Yeah. Like she's got good stamina. She is strong for her size. That doesn't mean that she's good at combat. But I don't know that I would want to try to tackle her or wrestle her or take her on physically. So how interesting that this person seemingly wasn't afraid to take her on, even with the possibility, if this is the case, that she could have had a gun, right? That she was known to own a gun and to have one in the car. And in theory, let's say that she suspected something or felt it all weird, she could have showed up with the gun inside the place.
I will say I didn't really necessarily found, well, that's once again, maybe I need to look into it, but was she like known to for sure have a gun? Because we know she had the gun because after the fact, the detail came out. But like, do we know that it was publicly known that she always carried the gun on her?
That's what I'm not sure about. And then actually gets to the next point is, because we're not really, I've heard different things. One of the things I watched said that she was killed by like a blunt force object that matched the tools that the person was carrying around. Now, we know that there's been a lot of kind of back and forth about what really happened here.
Yeah, because real quickly, I spent last night looking at this a little bit, and on Reddit, people claim that it was proven that it was actually gunshot wounds that killed Missy Beavers. And I think what they stated that law enforcement didn't want this detail to come out because they wanted to keep it close to the vest for themselves. But apparently, I didn't really look into that part, but it was somehow leaked, apparently, that maybe Missy was actually killed by a gun. And the puncture wounds, because when you think about it, a puncture wound sounds like it's done by a knife, but also, in theory, a gun would also leave puncture wounds, you know?
Yeah, it's true. You're perforated, basically. So, yeah, no, it's true. So, from that perspective, that if it's guns, then I guess, first of all, the female culprit becomes slightly more believable. So someone might ask, like, well, what are you saying, Glenn? What women can't attack and kill somebody with an object like that if it's not a gun? And no, I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah, Glenn.
I'm saying
what are you saying, man?
When we're saying, but the thing is, though, that being said, that's not so for sure. I mean, even like a child with a crowbar can become a dangerous person and probably easily kill another person in the right circumstances. But I think that I don't know that would be what somebody who wasn't extremely physically confident or aggressive would choose as their murder weapon, you know. And if they did, and it was a crime of passion, and they felt that confident in their abilities to ambush this physically fit person who might have a gun, especially in their state, well, then why, I guess here's the question, wouldn't they do, if it was a crime of passion, wouldn't they do more damage if it was a crime of passion? So, you know, crime of passion, they often say, like, you know, they often kind of know when somebody, like, let's say an old lady gets killed in her house, and they're like, gosh, somebody stabbed this old lady in the face 100 times.
but
maybe it was her daughter.
But do we know? As far as I recall, we don't know the autopsy, right? It was never
The state of the body. That's, I just wonder. I mean, I wonder if she had to open or close casket funeral stuff like that. I mean, I can imagine if the body.
Puncture wounds to the head and chest. I feel like puncture wounds to the head. I feel like that's already like very personal. If you don't have to, I mean, then you probably don't need to. But since there were puncture wounds in the head, maybe that's quite personal.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's to me, that would make a big difference if it was a gun or not. You know, as other people mentioned, guns are sort of the big equalizer.
Oh, of course, Yeah,
they're the ultimate equalizer. But I will say, even a weapon like that, I mean, somebody that knew how to use a crowbar or something could easily do a lot of damage. And then someone that doesn't know how to use a crowbar as a weapon could easily get it taken away from them. So, you know, it's double-edged. Well, a gun,
Also a little perspective on this case. And I remember talking about this on the last time we did this this show about this case, right? Episode number 87. I think I proposed a theory where maybe the culprit actually saw Missy and approached Missy and introduced themselves as a police officer, like inspecting the area or whatever. And maybe Missy wasn't immediately alerted by the presence of this person, and she turned around, and then maybe this person could have like hit her from behind, like a cheap shot, you know what I mean? That's also a possibility. We don't really know, because we never really saw the footage, right, of the actual encounter, but we don't really know if this detail could very well be known to law enforcement, because I feel like all of this image, and once again, dude, really quickly, dude, I wanna do one thing, because I know you'll probably get into some interesting stuff, but one thing that I really wanna mention right now. So, and this is particularly interesting if everyone who's listening to this will watch the YouTube channel right now. What I found very interesting, that from my personal understanding, right, this entrance right here on the right hand corner is the main entrance into the church. And this is the entrance that Missy entered, and to my understanding, Missy was murdered somewhere in this hallway. And why I say that is because if you guys who are watching this on the YouTube channel, if you would remember what I'm actually showing right now, so these two points, right, and if I would quickly jump to one of the maps, one of the really cool maps that we have on this case. As we can see, Missy entered through the main entrance, and she was killed somewhere down the hall. Well, maybe it was in this actually room. So once again, I'm not really sure, but what I'm trying to get at is that I wonder if law enforcement have the actual killing footage. Like, do they have the footage of the encounter? Because I feel like that would actually answer a lot of questions.
So they do have, well, I'm not sure exactly what they have, because I haven't seen anything that details everything. But actually, the forensic podiatrist did say that what he did see was he saw footage of when she comes in and realizes that someone's in there. Yes. And he says there's like this look on her face, like something out of like a horror movie, you know, like the same kind of scene when, like, you know, someone's in the house and all of a sudden they hear, I don't know, footsteps downstairs or something like that.
Jesus.
So it does make you wonder if she just suddenly split and ran and then was shot down or something, if it was gun or was chased down by somebody with a crowbar. So I can't help but wonder if maybe the costume didn't work at all. But okay, let's switch gears now. That's actually a perfect segue. The costume thing is interesting, because Grande, and this was something else that I don't know if we discussed this last time, when he said, you know, it seemed like it was an ambush, like it was planned. But he's like, what was with this costume and all this? Like, at some point, the first line of excuses for the costume, if those don't hold up, then is the second line like because to him it almost seemed like the person was trying too hard, like trying too hard to look weird here. It kind of reminded me of I put this in the notes. I don't know if you've ever seen, everybody look this up later. There's this scene, you can find this on YouTube. There's a scene from this Richard Pryor movie called Stir Crazy. He did with Gene, what's his name? Charlie and Chocolate Factory, Gene Wilder. Anyway, there's this one scene where they go to jail and like Richard Pryor's trying to like act tough because, you know, you got to act tough in jail. And then Gene Simmons is acting tough also. And then Richard Pryor's like, ain't you acting a little too bad? Ain't you a little too bad? Like, it's like the person was acting like too crazy and too weird, like almost like somebody was trying to simulate, like someone was trying to simulate, someone was trying to go way, you know, in front of these cameras. Like we said, they were doing this whole show. And then he wondered if maybe the person, I didn't think of this at all, if the person was actually pretending to be someone like Brandon's father-in-law.
Oh.
Like imitating the walk, wearing clothes that were deniable, whether it was someone that was trying to do an even bigger misdirection than we thought it was. I mean, it already was a misdirection, right? It's not the police that are murdering Missy Beavers, but is it, you know what I mean? It's not even, maybe it's not even the second line of suspects at this point. It's like some whole other, you know, it gets really weird where it gets into this other territory. So once again, and this, I think we've almost gone full circle with this part of the show in terms of, okay, because Grande says either it's a master criminal or an extremely lucky burglar or weirdo. If it's this master criminal, I'm not even a master criminal. I mean, because someone that got really lucky, could it conceivably be the wife or ex-wife, etc., of somebody that either Missy had an affair with or had a fling with, or that somebody thought because she had a fling with these other people that their man was also part of that group of people, and then they plotted something. So maybe it's okay. You know, somebody, it's somebody maybe who would feel especially threatened by Missy Beavers, who's, you know, at this point kind of, I guess, a relatively popular person and, you know, gone way out of her way to be really physically attractive and now is around all these other people. And I don't know, I guess I could see if someone was resenting her, she starts to become, to that person, she starts to become more and more prominent in public and like a bigger figure. And maybe if they're like, if that person's, you know, not dainty, if they're big, they're overweight, they're strong, but strong in a different way, whatever it is, you know, they don't look like her. I could see that person conceivably going to like some extreme lengths if they were really that obsessed.
Okay. No, that's interesting. So yeah, weird, you know, just to structure it. So in the resume, right, we already had those two other people that spoke. So what is Grande's conclusion?
Yeah, I mean, Grande seems to be leaning heavily towards the, you know, ambush. Somebody in her life did it. It doesn't look like he really wants to point fingers at people, but
okay. So
it seems rather coincidental. But then he also says, or it could just completely be a total freak thing.
Yeah.
And this is a weirdo that got really lucky and somehow accidentally picked something that actually fools, something that allows you to get away with murder in the 21st century. So right. Far.
So to reflect back on the three, to the three experts that you have presented their points of view, right? So one says that the first police guy, after looking at the details, he isn't quite sure if this was a burglary anymore. Then the second guy, the feet expert says that you can't really say if it was a man or a woman, and also added that they think that the walk made by the culprit is very reminiscent of at least one of the person that was shown to him by law enforcement. We don't know who the person is. And then Grandi says that they believe that this was an ambush, or at least Grandi would lead towards an ambush. So actually, when you think about it, all of these three opinions kind of match up, because the first guy doesn't know if this is a robbery anymore. The second guy is like, yo, someone walks very similarly from the footage that I was presented by law enforcement. A person of interest in this case, at least one of them, walks in interestingly. And then Grandi is like, yo, this looks like an ambush to me. So I think all of these, just to put it all in like one little nice like sentence, right? All of these three experts, they said, or they would lean towards, that this wasn't a robbery gone wrong type of a scenario, and it was potentially pre-planned. Is this a good assessment, dude, what I've just said?
Yes, I think that is a perfect assessment, and you're gonna laugh, but while you were giving the assessment, I might have changed my mind again. about the whole thing, because I it goes back to that whole thing with the timing about it again, that if the person did know, then they knew. Okay, wait. What was the time discrepancy again? The class was supposed to be at 5, right?
Okay, so I'll present it again. The class was supposed to be at 5. The culprit entered the church at 3:50, and Missy entered the church at 4:20. So culprit enters at 3:50. Missy enters at 4:20. At 5, Missy's found dead.
Okay, so it's not that adjacent to it. Maybe I didn't change my mind, because I was thinking, well, suppose she only got there 10 or 15 minutes early. Plenty of people get to things 10 or 15 minutes early, especially if it's like an early morning class or something, just because, like, you know, sometimes you're just up, or your timing is, if you're gonna get up for a 5 in the morning class, you don't want to be late for it, right?
That's so, a fact.
Yeah. Because that's just paying extra for that at that point, and you get up so early. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess if it had been closer to it, I would be a little more leery. I would fall more on the, gosh, either this person really has nerves of steel, or they really didn't know that this was going to happen. And then here's this person that pops up, and oh, because I don't want to get caught. So boom.
All right. So what do we think about the case? Because like, right. So to reflect back on the episode, I guess I can start. I think that I'd never really sensed that this was a robbery to me. It always didn't seem like a robbery. And I think the experts in this case, they also don't think it's a robbery. It doesn't look like someone who's trying to rob the place. I also find it very strange that if I don't think this was a coincidence. I kind of feel like this person knew that Missy was going to be there, and actually Missy, the day prior, actually notified all of her Facebook followers where she's going to be at which time. So this person could have easily went there and thought to hide out. Another thing I will say, I don't think that, well, if I had to bet, I would say that a gunshot was definitely used, a gun to kill Missy. Because I think Missy could have overpowered this person, and this person doesn't look like they would be confident enough to even attempt to kill Missy with a melee weapon. So I think she was definitely shot down. For what reasons? I can't think of any reasons. I really am blank. I do not know any reasons. For any plausible reasons why this would happen. I don't think that Brandon or the father killed Missy, I don't think it was a very elaborate hitman attempt as well, because it just seems like too much, you know what I mean? So I will leave it at that, that perhaps someone who knew Missy had some sort of a grudge against her, really wanted to kill her. Missy had been having conversations with other men, potentially. Maybe it's one of the men who was, you know, just, I don't know, mad at her. Maybe they just broke off their little affair or something like that, and he decided to go in and kill Missy. So I would leave it at that. But what are your thoughts to conclude, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm leaning heavily towards that, like, romantic rival, let's say, theory, that maybe somebody associated with one of the people that either she did have a relationship with or was suspected to, even if it didn't happen.
So a woman.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that. There was the one suspect, I think we mentioned him last time, we had to dance around it, because the person was extremely litigious. And the person actually did fit a lot of other aspects of it. And this person fell under more of the, let's say, discouraged stalker profile, I guess we call it, you know, if that makes sense. Like somebody who had been denied, I guess. And that, by the way, that's a very valid and well-known and famous in some cases example of what can happen to people. So I'm not discounting that. And then finally, yeah, there is like that random weirdo theory as far as just, you know, someone doing a burglary and kind of in the middle of their own weirdness. And then someone busts in, and then, you know, like, I mean, this has happened before with where people, maybe their fetish is discovered and they panic and they kill somebody or, you know, try to cover it up or flee from it. Maybe it's such a weird thing. I don't, the police thing, which like Grande says, maybe that's why it's so excellent that Grande pointed this out, because Grande might be more on the alert for people doing subterfuge like that, like people having plans within plans and almost revealing more about themselves when they do something or how they dress. It's interesting. The percentage breakout thing is hard for me with this one. Maybe I would say, which is almost like even odds for all three.
So what's what?
Sorry, yes, yeah, 40. 40, it was Oswald. 40% that it was like, let's say, a female romantic rival. 30% jealous male stalker. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll lump the hit. The jealousy inspired hit person, assassin, and then the last 30% is the random weirdo,
right?
Gone wrong, yeah.
So once again, 30% for the random weirdo gone wrong, 30% for a romantic rival type of a thing, and you will also lump in female and male romantic like rival, either like the stalker.
Yeah.
And then what was the 40%?
Well, yeah. So actually, the 40% was the
burglary. No?
It's probably better just to put anybody that's a romantic rival or a stalker type of thing, somebody with a personal motive that wasn't in a relationship with.
So that's 40. So that's 40, right?
Yeah. Let's say somebody external to the relationship she was in.
Okay.
While the 30% would be someone internal to the relationship she was in.
Oh. Okay.
Whether that was a husband or I'm rephrasing. I didn't say it that way last time, but I think this is a better way to put it. So somebody,
really quickly, just confirm that I understood this correctly. Yeah. So 40% someone external, not within the family, but romantically somehow involved. 30%
not random.
30% someone romantically involved, but within the family, and then 30% random dude messing things up.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I would say the middle 30 is like, yeah, somebody that either had a relationship with her or wanted to have a relationship with her, and you know, that kind of thing.
All right.
Well, anyway, yeah, I'd probably dragging it out, but okay. So, anyway, I feel like I've said what I wanted to say about this specific case. I'm glad, you know, we had a chance to sort of revisit this. I do feel like I get the weird feeling about this one. So let me see if I'm proven wrong or not. I have a weird Kristen Smart feeling about this one. Like maybe something's going to come up.
So like a family member?
Just some kind of evidence or something's going to pop up about this one. Like this is going to break.
About allegedly Brandon Beavers.
No. Anybody. I just feel like something's going to happen with this one. This one is too weird. And this, I mean, here's the thing. Why didn't this happen again? If this was random weirdo, either that person, wow, they got their fill and they're never going to do this again. Right. Or they died, or I guess something else could have happened. They could have gone to jail, et cetera. Mm. Why didn't we see another one of these?
Yeah. Cause we don't, right. We don't, we really, yeah. This is a creepy case with the footage and all that.
As far as we know. Yeah. So, I think that's it for that. I before we go, if we're wrapping it up, I just had one little piece of housekeeping, about all the great comments and feedback we get. I will say, if anybody ever got into it in the past in the comments with somebody from the show, it was me. Cause I unfortunately act like an asshat once in a while or get my ego involved. And I've tried to be better about it. I feel a little bit bad because this morning there was a comment that I was trying to get more information from this comment, but I think I didn't respond to that person. And then to someone else who actually was trying to be helpful. This person knows who they are. I should just look up who it was. I replied to that person, that I was not mad at them. And that I just in general, sometimes when I communicate, tone doesn't come through, but really like at the end of the day, we're really happy for all the comments and we really love feedback, especially constructive feedback. My comment today was I just wanted more specific feedback. And you know, that stuff like that we really enjoy because then we can, you know, as we get a consensus of what people like, we try to tailor the show in a way that still makes sense for us, but also makes sense for the audience. So maybe it's good I save that for the end.
No worries about that. We all, myself included, I also sometimes get frustrated and whatever, but you know, we love the comments. And speaking of the comments, please guys, leave some comments on this case. Like, what do you think about this murder case of Missy Beavers? Do you have your own set of theories? And obviously, as every week, we will catch you on the next week's episode where we'll be covering some interesting crime cases. And for now, guys, I suggest all of you stay safe and we'll catch you on the next episode. Peace out, my guys. Peace out.